What's going on, everybody? It is that time again, the Sooners Illustrated Podcast, episode 258 on this Thursday, March 26th, 2026. Josh Calloway, Colin Kennedy here with you on a Thursday. Spring ball is underway. We made it. The first practice was last night. We were there. Media was allowed to view a very big chunk of it, about half of it. We were there for about an hour last night. Got to see everyone. We're going to get into all of it on the show today. We're going to talk about what stood out to us, what stood out about John Mateer. We also talked to John Mateer after practice, some other players as well. All the standouts, all the takeaways, all the thoughts. We're going to get our hot takes off after one practice. This team's going to win a national title, all that good stuff. We're going to get into it on the show today as we wrap up the first spring practice and get kind of kicking off the spring here last night and continue to do so today. In Norman. Reminder, though, before we get started, subscribe to Sooners Illustrated, Oklahoma.247sports.com. Promo code SoonersPod60. That'll get you 60% off a VIP membership for a year to Sooners Illustrated, the entire 24/7 Sports Network. Perfect time to jump in. Tons of spring VIP content there already. Obviously, a lot more where that came from. And obviously, recruiting stuff has been really rolling the last few weeks. Colin's been on the road everywhere. And so, more of that to come, obviously, throughout the rest of spring, then into the summer and all that good stuff. So be with us over at Sooners Illustrated every single day. Use that promo code, take advantage, get a discount on a yearly subscription. All right. Let's do it, Colin.
Sure.
First off, just good to see you. Been a couple of weeks since you and I did a show. You've been on the road every weekend.
Yeah.
But you're back. You still made it to get up to Oklahoma for spring camp, but – first off, just good to see you. How are you feeling energy-wise? You've been everywhere. And you're going back out again this weekend, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty tired, to be honest. I mean, it's like I'm on the road even right now. I mean, this is the debut of the Norman studio, if you will.
Yeah.
Which is really just a wall and a couple of helmets that I got. No, it's been good. Like, hit Atlanta, hit New Orleans, hit Houston a couple of times, going back to New Orleans. Drove up to Norman, obviously, for spring practices. It's a lot, but it's that time of the year. Like, this is the closest we get to actual football. I'm very aware of that. And I'll be honest with you, man, being back out there at spring practice, when you go into it, you're like, I don't know what we're in for. It could just be 15 minutes of stretching. Shout out to Brent in Oklahoma for letting us stand there for an hour, because I got fired up just standing around doing nothing.
100%. Yeah, it just feels good to like you said, just to be out there. They practiced at the Everest indoor facility yesterday because it was like over 90 degrees in Norman, which was crazy for first practice of the spring. And they recently got air conditioning in Everest. That was like a new thing. I can't remember when that was, back during the season, I think. I can't remember, but it felt wonderful in there. And yeah, I mean, just – it just felt good, right? I mean, it felt good to see football. Obviously, it's just practice. Guys are running around in shorts, but you get a little idea. And for all intents and purposes, this is kind of like the start of the new year, right? I mean, team 132, if you will. I know they've had winter workouts and all that, but, you know, that, well, I've said it before, like, the winter workouts are not very visible. They're, you know, we don't talk to guys during winter workouts. Fans obviously don't really see anything. And so spring camp starting kind of is like the start of a new season in a way, especially this year with there being no spring portal. Like, this is the team, right? Like, we saw the team yesterday, obviously for the most part. So that was nice, right? I mean, just to, like you said, just to get out there and to kind of kick this thing off a little bit. And we're going to obviously get into the specifics of some of the guys that stood out, but just nice to get this thing rolling. They're going to practice again tonight. We're going to talk to more guys tonight, including Brent Venables is believed to be scheduled to speak this evening, so keep an eye out for all that tonight on the YouTube channel. But just nice to kind of finally kick this thing off last night, I thought, for sure.
I'm keeping my eye on my dog over here, if you see me looking off, because I didn't see a squirrel outside the window. But
no worries.
It was great. I let's start here, man. I know we're about to dive into the offensive side, the defensive side, a lot of specific stuff, which is going to be great, because this is kind of some ball talk. Did you have a general takeaway from the sample size we got being out there? I have one. Didn't know if you had just kind of an overall thought seeing team 132 for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, not. I mean, obviously, it's always funny because everyone looks great, right? I mean, they're coming off winter workouts, and so it is. And for all the new guys, it's the first time we've really got to see them in pads. Obviously, on a football field, we met them a couple weeks ago at the media day, but. You know, nothing crazy. I mean, it was nice to see the new coaches, you know, Jason Witten, obviously, in particular. That was a little bit of like a, Yep, he's actually coaching here. It was kind
of real
weird to see him in OU stuff, just, you know, coaching. Like, it was no big deal, obviously. But I don't know. What do you got? I mean, like I said, a lot of guys look good. I have a lot of names I can throw out when we get into like some standouts. But what did you have?
I mean, my overall takeaway, and I wanted to vet this with you and everybody out there, the sheer size of this group. It felt like they have gotten bigger and stronger, and it feels like I noted this last night. Every coach around this time of year talks about we worked hard to recruit size and length, and we tried to increase the physical capabilities of this roster. But that's a lot of coach speak sometimes. Standing out there the other day, you're looking around at every position group, and you're standing there going, man, like they're big at that spot and at that spot. And we'll talk about that more here in a second. But that was kind of my primary takeaway is – however many years we're into this thing with Oklahoma being a member of the SEC, you talk about SEC size. It feels like this is one of the bigger teams that they're going to have had under Brent Venables, at least in his time as the head coach in Norman.
No, that's a very good point and very true, because that was the main thing that stood out to me was how many guys, and the young guy, like the freshman coming in that already kind of looked the part, especially, you know, and again, we'll get into it, but there's some year two dudes that I have in mind that are like, whoa, clearly kind of starting to make that turn. And, you know, you compare it to, you know, we talk about it all the time, and it's been most noticeable the last couple of years seeing SEC teams up close on a week-in, week-out basis, but comparing it to before, you know, in the Big 12, it's not a disrespect at all to, you know, the Baylors of the world, the TCUs, those programs – obviously, but compare it to just the dudes when they play Tennessee or LSU or Alabama. Like, it's noticeable, especially being down on the field, like during warm-up stuff. It's like, this is a different caliber of just behemoth in this league. And you're seeing Oklahoma really start to look more like that. So I think that's a great call on your part. I have a bunch of names that fall into that category that we'll get into. Before we do that, I want to make sure to start at the top because I think it just makes the most sense, I feel like, because the most attention obviously is going to be on John Mateer. So first time getting to see John since the end of the season, first time he talked to the media, right, since the playoff game. He talked post-practice. You were over there. You got the video. It's on YouTube. If you didn't see anything of it, the full thing is on the YouTube channel. Shout out Colin for getting that. I was over with Jake Michael at the time. He snuck out there. Colin picked me up and got the video of John. You know, we saw him at the pro day a little bit. Tom was there, and Tom talked about on the show then that it looked like the throwing motion was tweaked a little. We're not QB experts, but it looked like it was tweaked a little. And then at practice yesterday, same thing, looked like it was tweaked a little. And then John said as much. He confirmed it. Post-practice, he said that he has worked on the throwing motion, trying to get a little more over the top. It's a practice in shorts. I thought he looked sharp. He was throwing some balls down the field to a lot of his new guys, Parker Livingston, who was one of those dudes who's bigger than I realized, the tight ends. And I thought he looked good. Again, like, he's throwing the ball around in shorts, but I thought the throwing motion thing was noticeable, and I thought it was very kind of, I don't know, nice that he was just open about it and that he said that I need to get a lot better, and that was one of the things he's working on. What'd you make of all that, getting to see John and then what he had to say after? What were kind of your thoughts?
It's perfect timing, too, because obviously I'm fresh off of a trip to the Elite 11 regional, so I'm in quarterback mode right now. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts and stuff about quarterback play and throwing motions and stuff, and my biggest thing coming out of it was, yes, it's noticeable. Like, fans out there, you can go on the YouTube channel, you can see Josh's video of him throwing it, as opposed to maybe some of the pictures you saw coming out of games last year where it's more kind of here, it's here. But my big thing was John talked about how coaches preach about getting the ball up to the ear and things like that, but at the same time he mentioned, look, some of the sidearm stuff that I was doing last year had a lot to do with the thumb, and it makes a lot of sense. And as the thumb has gotten healthier, I do think that that's allowed him to actually take steps to fix the mechanics, because if you're going to go over the top, there's a lot of layers to this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I found that to be pretty notable. Just the fact that I mean, yes, John admitted it, and you can say there was an accountability factor there. But I'm glad that he said, hey, part of why my throwing mechanics were off was because I had screws in my thumb and I had to adapt my throwing motion to the surgery I had. And I think that as much has been made about the way he's thrown the ball, to now get it out there like, hey, that's not the norm. That was just a situational type of approach. I think that should excite Oklahoma fans even more, knowing that he's aware of it and he's worked to fix it. But it's also something that he wasn't necessarily planning to lean on. It was just kind of that individual setup with him and the thumb.
Yeah. Well, it's just, not being stubborn, not being like, no, this is the way I play. Like, I'm going to improve, but like, this is how I throw, or whatever. He willing to adapt. And I thought it was, the fact that the word obvious was the word that he used, that he was going to be back. It's another thing that, I'm sure for a lot of fans, it was obvious, not ready for the NFL or whatever. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with this, but the list of guys that are usually say, took a lot of time to reflect and blah, 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 there's nothing wrong with that. But that is almost always what you hear. And he basically was like, there was no decision, essentially, is how he kind of made it sound, And so that was, I think, very just refreshing that he can be that honest with himself and that self-assessment of because, he said as much, I feel like I'm a good football player. I wouldn't be here if I'm not, but also acknowledging I have to be a lot better and there's still a lot of room for me to grow. That's what you want to hear. He told that line really well. And John's always been really good with the media since he's been here and everything, but so it's not like it's nothing, anything new in that regard, but I thought he said all the right things. And again, it's a sprint practice. He's throwing around in shorts, but I thought he looked good. He looked sharp. His passes were really crisp. I put the video out of a few of his throws, and there's more on the YouTube, the full video, but I put a few out, on Twitter yesterday, and a lot of people had the same reaction, which was that's a tight looking spiral. That's a pretty ball, 30, 40 yards down the field, to his guy, to his target. Right. And he looked good. And he looks like he's very just comfortable and feeling at peace with kind of everything. I'm certain I've been told as much. John never probably really thought he was going to be here more than a year. The idea was to come, be really good, and then go to the NFL. It didn't go that way. And so it would be kind of easy for him to almost be like a little bit, going through the motions, a little bit of like, I should be in the draft prep right now. But
yeah, being down.
He's not doing that. He's attacking it really the right way. So I think if you're a fan, you should be excited about John Mateer in year two in Norman. I think that's
body language is king. And I felt like throwing motion aside, because again, it's practices. He's throwing the ball in shorts. It just looked like body language wise in practice, after practice, talking to us, he looked comfortable, relaxed, settled. And that's something you can't take for granted with this guy, especially after everything that he went through last year. A lot of stuff he didn't expect. And I thought it was one other thing for me. One of the first things he said was excited to be back and lead this new group of guys. He immediately went out and got ahead of the leadership aspect of this as well. How many guys did we talk to at Spring Media Day, some of these transfers and stuff, who said, well, I wanted to be here because of John Mateer? I think a lot of these players are looking to him as the leader of this team. And after the adversity he faced a season ago, to already be embracing not only his return, but what his presence is within that return. I'm really excited for this guy. I'm pulling for him. And it feels like he's as comfortable as he's been in Norman in a long time.
For sure. So great to see John just on the field again and obviously hear from him, and I'm sure we'll catch him again at some point in spring, at the very least after the spring game. I would bet we hear from him again, though, before spring ball is over, even before the spring game. But obviously he'll be a popular guy every time we get out there, just to get to see him get more polished as a quarterback and as a passer. Let's expand it out to the full team as far as just some other standouts. We'll break it down each side of the ball. We'll stay on offense since we're on the subject with Mateer. Open board. Who you got? I mean, who stood out when you were out there? We'll start on offense. I mean, there's a lot, right? Because on offense, there's a lot of new pieces, new coaches, new pieces. Obviously, we talked about the tight end room is totally revamped. You got some new receivers that people are very excited about. No Trell Harris yesterday. Don't want to speak out of turn on that yet. I've been told some things with Trell. I don't think anything. I'm just going to sidestep it. I don't really want to say anything too out of turn with him, but he was not out there yesterday. We did get to see Parker Livingston, though, who looked, like I mentioned earlier, a little bigger than I realized, truthfully. Revamped tight end room, some new running backs, offensive line. What jumped out to you? Throw out a couple names. I'll throw out a couple names. We'll just kind of bounce around here on the offense. Who stood out?
So let's start here. Let's go to the running backs first quickly. Jonathan Hatton Jr. in pads is a sight to see.
Yeah, he looks awesome.
That's an S.
He looks great.
Having covered Jonathan as long as I have, he's always looked like the best on the field of the back group, dating back to when he was freshman or sophomore at some of these high school camps. He stands out no matter the scene he's a part of. But looking at him and some of the size he's already added at Oklahoma, I mean, what is he now already on the roster? 230. Looking at him was something, and I can't wait to see. I thought DeZephon Walker looked pretty good too.
Yeah.
And then for me, I think one of the most under-discussed things that I saw out there is Xavier Robinson is somehow even bigger.
Yeah, he's a monster.
He's huge now. I mean, he was big before. I wish I had the number on me handy, but he looks like he might even be pushing 240 pounds. Like,
yeah, he's big.
That back core, man, watching them and watching Dylan McCullough take them through drills, and Tom noted it in his observations piece how detailed he is. Watching a mind like McCullough work with these SEC body type backs, that group, man, is they at least look ready to go downhill and build up 3-4 yards in a cloud of dust.
I agree totally on all that. I thought the same thing with Xavier. Like, whoa! Like, and he's obviously always been big. Going back to high school, he was big. But yeah, he looks like just a Mack truck right now. And I've always thought, and I'm never. You got to be careful comparisons because I'm not saying he is this guy. Okay, obviously this guy won a Heisman. He's an NFL star, but he's always reminded me of Derrick Henry, just the way that he runs, and he's just his size, and he's got such good feet for how big he is. You know, and he. Yeah, I agree totally. Same thing on Hatton. It was almost like comical looking at Hatton standing with the other running backs because he's as physically impressive as any of them. And he's the new guy, right? I mean, he's a high school kid right now. He's an early enrollee, and it's not hard to see why there's a thought that, yeah, he can help this team obviously right away. What'd you think of the tight ends? Like I mentioned, totally revamped, all new guys, Jason Witten coaching them. There's a lot of intrigue there because there is so many new names at the position. What'd you think of the tight end room? What stood out to you there? I mean, I think that position certainly had a lot of attention on. I was over by them quite a bit just because of Witten and all the new faces. But what stood out to you there in the tight end room?
So in case you're wondering at home real quick, Xavier Robinson on Oklahoma's roster is listed at 238 pounds.
Okay.
Man, Jonathan Hatton, 230. The tight ends look like $1 million. I mean, I don't really know what else to say because we watched them go through some blocking drills and they caught some passes. And again, you don't want to sit here and be like, these guys, there's three All-Americans in there, but Hayden Hansen is huge. He moves way too well for someone who's 6'8", 270. I mean,
he's big. Yeah.
Watching him jog, like sometimes you can see some of the athleticism and the bounce and the step, you know, and like just seeing the way that he moves. And then obviously he's like the tallest guy out there. It was incredible. I mean, truly like a feat of human physicality, the way that guy walks around. Mm-hmm. Rocky Beers. I'm very high on Rocky Beers. I think that he's got a chance to really leave an impact. And then I'm extremely excited about Jack Vanderslayer. Like, I'm really excited about that guy. He looks great as well. That trio was awesome to watch. And then there's Jason Witten. I mean, a guy that I grew up watching, and he's coaching Oklahoma's tight ends now. It's the most obvious statement of the year, but it's worth reiterating, especially like as more and more fans get eyes on these guys. Just the stark contrast from what that room was to where they are today. It's night and day difference. And that's not even doing it justice. Like those guys are,
yeah,
that's a different group of dudes in that tight end room.
Yeah, I agree totally, especially on Hanson. You can tell he came from another SEC, you know, powerhouse. He looks like the guy you put in there at tight end one and you feel good about it. One bonus name I throw in, and he gets forgotten because he's not new. Dude, I did a legit double take on Trenae Washington. Whoa. He's huge. He's massive. I legitimately was like, who is that? And someone said it was Trenae because he changed numbers, I think. And he's
265 pounds.
He's massive.
265. Like, I don't know that registered with me. He's 265.
He was almost so big that I was starting to question, like, is he too big? Like he is massive, and he was moving fine. I don't want to suggest otherwise, but he was pretty skinny, and I mean, he was always a big dude, but he played a wide receiver at Carl Auber. Like he was not a huge guy. I mean, big guy, but not a huge guy. He's huge now. And he's, you know, going to year two for him. You know, they have all these transfers. Obviously I don't think he's going to have a massive role, but you never know. And I just, you know, he's a name that gets lost in the shuffle a little bit because of what they did in the portal and the guys they've coming in with Ruxer and Mix. It's just like, don't forget about in the middle here, this kid who, even going back to when he committed, where he committed with Marcus James, like he's always been a little under the radar. He was definitely, from just a pure physicality standpoint, it was stunning how large he was. On that same note, same thing at the wide receiver room. There's a bunch of dudes here that fall into that category. Manny Choice is a monster, just a monstrous human, just so tall, and he's put some more weight on. He kind of looks like Jaden Gibson, but thicker. Like Jaden Gibson was obviously a big dude, but always kind of skinny. Manny Choice,
that's
is
a good way to put it.
Yeah, he's built. Elijah Thomas looks like an alien. He looks fantastic. That's never been an issue. Elijah Thomas has always looked fantastic, but he looks even better. And I mentioned earlier, I thought Parker Livingston, I thought he was a tight end. I thought, not knowing the numbers that well because they're all new, I thought he was Van Dorsler when he first caught a pass. And then I double-checked the roster and was like, oh, no, that's Livingston. He was bigger than I realized. Other wide receiver takeaways are obviously touch on those guys as well. But, you know, some new names there, obviously, and a lot of excitement in that room that they've kind of revamped it a little bit. Not to the degree of the tight end room, but certainly some new names there.
Well, walking in, all those guys that you mentioned, Elijah Thomas, Manny Choice, Parker Livingston, Isaiah Satania looks great. That's not a shock to anybody. But I walk in, and obviously I know this guy exists, but I walked in and I saw a number 13 jersey in that wide receiver group going through the line, and I'm like,
yeah,
good Lord. And then it clicks. I'm like, that's Jaden Petit. That looks like a redshirt junior walking around.
Yeah, he's big.
He's big. We've known he's big, but I can't. That's probably the best way I can describe it to folks is when I first saw him and I temporarily forgot that Jaden Petit's wearing number 13, I was like, who's the redshirt junior walking around in the receiver row? Like it, he looks like a million bucks. Jasir Rogers, I thought looked really solid. Yeah. Walking around, like those freshmen, I think that there is an expectation for them to contribute in some form or fashion. And I think going into this season compared to last year, one of the big questions of spring ball is this going to be a time where Oklahoma decides it has a true rotation at receiver, or is it going to be pretty top heavy the way that it operated a season ago? And it, at the very least, speaking of what you're talking about, it looks like they have the bodies there to at least start to explore what a rotation with all these guys might look like, as long as they deliver in spring practices.
For sure. Bonus name there, too, that I think gets forgotten about just because of, you know, the turnover and everything. But JerMichael Carter is back. I thought he looked pretty good, too. I mean, JerMichael, he was a summer guy last year. And he kind of had some moments later in the year, like in that November run. he looked good. He's another guy who changed his number. And so I did a little bit of like a same kind of thing as I've said a couple times, like, who is that? You know, and a double check. I was like, oh, that's your Michael Carter. He looked like he put some weight on. And I don't know where he fits in the grand scheme of things, but he's just kind of one of those names that it's easy to kind of forget because of what they add in the portal and then the young guys coming up like a Thomas or a Choice. But don't forget about Jermichael Carter in there. He has, a chance to factor in for sure this year. Do you have anything offensive line? I truthfully didn't really get over there much to see. They were kind of on that far side. Do you have anything? I don't have a lot O-line-wise, truthfully.
So first thing that I had, I mean, first, let's – you mentioned it. Shout out to the whole John Mateer video sequence. Shout out to Jake Michaela. You talked to him. Just good to see him look healthy and strong. And obviously the situation that unfolded last year at the end of the season, seeing him back out there and taking back over the center spot was good to see. The primary takeaways that I had, though, number one, we talk about it, but number two, to actually see that Amarion Harris has the inside track at right tackle, I think is incredibly notable, not only because you're talking about a guy that's been a longtime starter in the SEC at 6'6", 312, looking to take over the right tackle spot. That's kicking Ryan Foje into right guard. I don't know if you notice this. He's up to 330 pounds, God. Is Foje.
Yeah.
Again, we talk about the size of this team. Foje making kind of that year two jump gains-wise. He's along the interior. The rest is pretty much status quo, but I thought Foje looked even bigger. The rest of that line looks exactly what you would expect, and then to see Amarion Harris at least start out with a shot at right tackle is notable in my opinion.
Definitely, definitely notable, and that'll be a fun group to watch shake out. I mean, like you said, it would seem to suggest, based off one practice, that Harris at tackle is kind of the plan. Again, that might be overstating it a little bit, but definitely a notable thing there for sure.
And then the other thing that I forgot to mention, Daniel Akinkunmi on the scooter in practice is tough. It's tough. I hate it for the guy.
Yeah.
Don't want to overly speculate, but we've heard it's a lower leg type of injury, and I hate it for him because he has dealt with injuries in his time in Norman.
Yeah. We've
heard some positive stuff coming out of the winter. Felt like he was going to solidify himself as a member of at least the second line and a key depth piece for them. And now I'm curious to see what Brent says tonight, if anything, about some of these injuries and Akinkunmi specifically, because that feels like a setback it's a bummer. There's just no other way to put it.
No, that's definitely a good call. It'll be interesting to see how the O-line kind of shakes out over the course of the next month and, we talked to Michael a little bit, but to talk to more of these other guys as well between now and obviously the end of the camp here in about a month. Anything else on offense? I mean, we got to see Bo Bentley a little bit. I mean, yeah, I thought he looked good. I mean, he looked sharp. That was a nice ball, obviously, which we already knew. But I think we covered most everything on offense. Anything else you want to get out there?
Nitta was sitting out, so I am curious about the offensive line depth, at least for the time being. But I think that pretty much covers it on the offensive
side. Yeah, I think we covered it all. Let's do defense. Let's go to the other side.
The Sooners Illustrated Podcast. We'll be back after this short break.
Obviously, a lot of returners here. Not as many new faces, but some on the defensive side. Let's go straight to the defensive line, to start. No David Stone, no Jaden Jackson yesterday. Stone was there, just not doing anything. I don't know if Jaden Jackson was even there.
I did not see him.
And so I think right now D tackle is a fair question mark. I mean, I don't know if I would say it's a concern. That seems to probably be a little too strong for March 26th, but you need some guys to step up. And Kenny Ozawalu got nicked up right at the very beginning. I didn't actually see what happened. I think he's like cramped up or something, but he basically didn't do anything while we were there. Saw Bishop Thomas a little. You know, do you have any And you can go out to the edge as well. I mean, I thought the edge with Wine, I thought Okoye looked incredible. Yeah. We know PJ is on the shelf right now. But I feel like the edge depth is in a pretty good place, where the D-tackle depth is kind of a little bit of a question right now.
Well, the guy that jumped out to me was Trent Wilson. Trent Wilson is arguably one of the most important players of the offseason for Oklahoma across the entire roster.
I agree.
Because they have got to get a guy like that going behind Jaden Jackson and David Stone. And let me preface this conversation by saying this. We have heard that the plan, and I think Brent even kind of admitted to this in the spring media day, we have heard that the plan during spring practices is to play it pretty cautiously with a lot of these guys, especially the top end players.
Yeah.
I don't think that Oklahoma feels the need to put pressure on these guys to put in a ton of wear and tear during spring practices. If Oklahoma does end up choosing to shelf a lot of these established presences and protecting them over the course of the spring and letting them get their bodies prepared for fall camp and then the season, I am okay with that, especially because it means it opens the door for more reps and opportunity for somebody like a Trent Wilson, right? And man, looking at him right now, just the physical maturation that's taken place, he looks like a guy that's arrived in year two. Now, he actually has to arrive on the field, but seeing Trent Wilson and Danny Okoye be constantly the first two up in the defensive line drills was very encouraging in my eyes. We know what Okoye is and looks like, but Trent, it really feels – he has the air about him right now just walking around of somebody who you can feel is a player that's going to step up. He's got to go out and do it, but it looks like he's added a lot of good weight. He seems to be moving around pretty well. He was – I remember Todd Bates pulled one of the defensive linemen aside and was giving him some tips, and Trent was going back to the – front of the D-line drills, but stopped and turned his head and listened to what Bates was saying. I was very encouraged by what I saw by Trent Wilson. He was one of the bigger standouts for me on the day, just visualizing what we've talked about so frequently with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. It feels like he and Nigel Smith, like the two of them, like OU needs at least one of them to pop, if not both. You know, that's going to be key. This is a big time for both those guys the next month. And Bert Venables has spoken highly of both. He mentioned Nigel is one of the guys who's making, like, one of the bigger jumps since the end of last year. And so, you know, again, probably at least one, if not both, are going to be needed. I mean, you need some guys to step up and take a jump. A lot of production leaving that D-tackle room this year, a lot. So, yeah, I mean, you need some guys to step up. I mentioned Okoye already. Again, beating a dead horse, he looks awesome. I mean, he looks absolutely like just a weapon. He looked really good. I thought it was kind of interesting. I was over with the edges for a little bit, and Miguel Chavis was telling the other guys to watch Danny. He was saying, you know, Danny, do it again. Everyone watch Danny. Like, watch Danny. So, you know, it's one rep on a drill they were doing, but it just kind of gives you an idea of, like, they like this guy. They like where he is. Taylor Wine obviously looked great too. And we talked to Taylor Wine after the practice. He was great. He's got future coach kind of vibe to him. The way he was kind of talking about the roster and everything, and him, he has clearly stepped up as a major leader on this team. And he broke down the practice at the beginning. Like he stepped up in a big way, both on the field and off it. And he talked a little bit about Okoye just being like, we need him. We need him. He knows that. And like, we're putting it on him. Like, hey man, it's your time, dude. Like you're big time now. So I like the edge room. I like the edge room a lot. You're losing a guy like Armason Thomas, who's obviously I've been a massive fan of. He was a phenomenal player here, and yet you still feel like that room is pretty good. So that's a credit to Miguel Chavis that's the case.
The last thing I'll say on the defensive line while transitioning to the linebackers, one thing that was also pretty notable was whenever we came back for the end of practice for player interviews and we're talking to a lot of the guys, a lot of front seven players, defensive linemen and linebackers, hung back to work on some of the front calls, and it was led by Taylor Wine, and that speaks to what you're talking about. Wine's working with a lot of these guys to break down the system calls. Watching Wine then break off to go do his media interviews, I'm standing there. Number one, Kenny Osawalu came over to drop off his pads. He looked okay, so kind of what Josh was talking about earlier. I think he just cramped up, but I mean, that dude is sturdy. Mm-hmm. He's a sturdy guy. And I also thought it was cool. You see guys like Jake Kroll, Alex Shield Knight walking over. They're talking to each other about the calls and stuff, and they're giving each other some encouraging words, almost like I think Jake Kroll was kind of giving a pep talk, and he's a true freshman. Like, the minds and the commitment in that group right now, they've recruited those positions well. I don't think that's a secret, but they've also recruited the characters for those rooms at a high level, and I thought that was reflected in after practice.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Krell, because Wine talked about him afterward, and he had a great quote where basically just said, like, yeah, he's coming. He's on the way. He's coming. And he said that, you know, he is just an absolute machine in terms of learning, like always asking questions, always putting in extra time. And I guess he's become a little bit of the young darling for Miguel Chavis and then Taylor Wine, who's like I said, kind of an extension of the coaching staff a little bit at this point, because he's been around and he's a vet and he's a great leader. So glad you brought him up. He was a name that came up quite a bit in Taylor Wine's interview after practice, which again, on YouTube channel, if you want to watch that. You mentioned linebackers, bumping out to them. Obviously, first time to get to see Cole Sullivan a little bit. They were on the far side, so I truthfully didn't see them as much as I probably would have liked. Hopefully, in next open window, I can maybe get a better. But I saw a little of Cole. Seemed like he was moving really well. And that's the thing that stands out to him about him, is that he's just very athletic. He really gets around well. Obviously, Kip Lewis looks great. We all know Kip. There's not a lot of new ground to cover there. He's going to be great, obviously, as we know. Owen Heineke was out there, not practicing. Obviously, we've talked about it at length on the show, that whole legal thing. Tom and I touched on it on Monday. Like, I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't imagine he'll really participate in spring hardly at all, but he was out there, just kind of moral support, I guess. And then a lot of the young linebackers, obviously, a lot of spotlight is on them. Did you have anything there that stuck out to you linebacker-wise? Because, again, this feels like a very big time for your James Nestas, for your Marcus Jameses, for all those younger dudes, because they're going to need them to step up, especially if Heineke's not back. If Heineke's back, a little bit of that pressure is alleviated, but if he's not, then you really are going to need a couple of them to step up.
Marcus James, I saw, had a blue jersey on, which typically means no contact. I think he had like a sling on his shoulder, so it looks like he'll just at least be limited. But he was going through drills and stuff. He wasn't held out. I just think that he's going to be one of those guys that maybe they're cautious with. Thought James Nessa looked pretty good. Cole Sullivan, tall, lanky, long-armed, just a little bit of a different body type than maybe what they're used to having there, you know, and – watching him go out there, it was strange, but in a good way, not in a bad way at all, but it hits that it's like, yeah, that's Cole Sullivan, part of this linebacker core. And he's just tall and there's a lot of arm, and you're looking at him and he was going through drills, and Dreiling is pulling him over constantly and be like, here's what we do here. Here's what we do here. And he's very much new to the scene. And so seeing him was very much an eye opener of like, this guy's here now, and curious to see what comes from him during spring practices.
For sure. Kind of bridging the gap to the secondary. I thought it was pretty noteworthy at the cheetah spot that obviously Reggie Powers is your guy there. And he looks really good, by the way, Reggie Powers. I thought it was kind of noteworthy that Taylor Heim was with him. Kind of like they were 1 and 2 in the cheetah stuff with Wes Goodwin. Heim is a very interesting dude right now, because it just seems like with his body type, I'm not saying he's going to beat Kendall Daniels. You don't just one for one replace Kendall Daniels. That guy was a freak at the highest order with his size and athleticism. But it seems like Heim kind of maybe the favorite to kind of serve that role, like bigger cheetah. And, you know, to Powers is more your defensive back cheetah, and Heim's more your linebacker cheetah. I thought it was interesting that those two guys, they're over with Wes Goodwin, who obviously coaches cheetahs, and they were like working together on everything. I thought that was potentially noteworthy, because I know we're all kind of earmarking Heim as like, could he be that guy? Can he make a big jump? And he was a really good special teams player for Oklahoma last year. Can he, you know, step into a legitimate, you know, fairly substantial role for for Oklahoma this year. That would be huge for them if he could. So yeah. Definitely a little note there with Heim. As far as the secondary, safeties and corners, a lot of familiar faces here. I mean, some new ones, but a lot of familiar faces. Obviously, Peyton Bowen leading it. He joked about it. We talked to him afterward. He joked about being like the old guy in the room now, which is stupid. Time flies.
Yeah.
In fact, Bowen is like the old guy in that room. Is crazy. But Boganowski obviously in there. You got the young guys coming in. I thought another year two guy that really looked good was Omarion Robinson. I really was like, yeah, that looks right. That he looked the part. I thought clearly just bigger than he was at the end of last year when he got to play a little bit. Cornerback room, you know, a lot of familiar faces back there as well. Some new guys I thought put on some weight. What'd you think secondary wise? Anything that jumped out to you there? Safeties and corners, obviously. Again, a lot of returning pieces here to be excited about.
Yeah, bridging the gap from the cheetah group to the defensive backfield. We had heard and we had noted, I mean, weeks ago on the site that Taylor Heim and Jeremiah Newcomb were going to get looks at cheetah.
I thought Newcomb looked good too. He looked big.
So Heim out there practices is with the cheetahs, and Newcomb is now back working with the corners, which I felt notable because it felt like, okay, Heim is, like you mentioned, more of the backer style cheetah. Maybe Newcomb ends up getting more as like a true nickelback behind Powers, and they ended up letting him roll with the corners in practice one. Jeremiah Newcomb was one for me. I'm very curious to see what can come from him after being banged up last season. You know, we've heard some pretty good things about his offseason.
He was one of the talks of fall camp last year before he got hurt. He was a buzz name during fall camp, like, watch out for this guy. Then he was just hurt all year.
I think we forget about Jeremiah Newcomb sometimes because, like, he gets banged up, and like Devin Jordan takes reps at corner the cheetah room, the way that it looked. And obviously Jeremiah was hurt, but this feels like Jeremiah's opportunity. It was just a matter of, does he get more looks at cheetah or a corner? We'll see at corner. Obviously the top two at corner are the top two. They look good. I thought, you know, you see number nine, considering who's been wearing number nine at corner, you're like, whoa. And I mean, Dakota Fields is a big dude out there at corner. I'm curious to see how he can make an impact in that group. Who knows, man? Jacoby had a number change. He's 24 now. I thought he looked pretty good moving around.
Mm-hmm. So that threw some number change through me for a minute.
Yeah, they've got options on paper at corner. Who emerges to supplement that top two that's so established is fascinating. You took the words right out of my mouth as far as safety. Omarion Robinson is one of those year two jumps for me.
Yeah,
I thought he looked noticeably bigger. I mean, like, frame-wise, there's a picture that I got of him, and the bicep it's large. He looked good moving around as well. I think he's going to be one that takes a jump at safety. And then, obviously, you've got Peyton and Boganowski. Yeah, like, there's depth at defensive back. It's no shock there, but they look to have made some physical gains. And I think that in the defensive backfield, you have the names at the top. It seems as though, like, they're really comfortable as far as maybe some of the other guys who could come off the bench and play some snaps for them.
Yeah, for sure. One bonus name, a corner as well. We mentioned all the other Carl Albert guys. So I might as well throw Tristan. I thought Tristan Haynes, he caught my eye as far as just a little bigger. Obviously, Tristan, an elite prospect at Carl Albert, but never very big, right? He was always kind of skinny. He clearly has put on some mass, which, you know, like we just said, they have a lot of corners. I think, you know, barring a bunch of injuries, I don't know how deep they'll need to go. I mean, you got Jacoby back, Bowen, Guillory, the added Fields. Like, it's a really good room. But Tristan's a guy, I mean, remember, he was a top prospect. I mean, top recruit, right? And he had his freshman year under his belt. Didn't play, obviously, really any last year. He got on the field, I think, maybe a time or two in special teams. I can't remember how many actual snaps he ended up playing. But, you know, very little, right? And so – he was one that, you know, I noticed yesterday, like, Tristan Haynes looking a little bigger. You know, nothing crazy, but, you know, a little notable there with him. So, great to be out there. Tate Sendell looked like Tate Sendell. I don't know if I have any other special teams takes, but I'm excited.
I thought all the kickers made their kicks whenever we saw that. I think Tom had a note in his observations piece that all those guys went out there and made some kicks or something. I mean, I'm not sure.
Someone had a punt that hit the roof. I think it was Grayson Miller, but I guess I don't know for sure. I think it was Grayson Miller. They were doing some pump kick stuff, and it just smacked the roof, which the Everest roof is pretty high. So that was – do with that what you will, I guess. Yeah, I thought it was good. I mean, I thought it was good to be out there.
Let me add this. Satania doing some return stuff. Bowen was doing some return stuff.
Yeah, I had a clip of guys returning. Who else was in there? I want to say maybe Jacob Jordan maybe was out there doing some return stuff. It was a bunch of dudes doing it.
That sounds right.
Yeah, which he's also another number change. These guys changing their numbers. It's just they're trying to trip us up. I don't know what's up with that. It feels like everyone's got a new number. Half the roster's got a new number. Just they're making it hard on us. He's number 7 now, Jacob Jordan. Mm-hmm. And that's such a drastic change, too, because he was 80-something before. Like
he was 88.
Yeah, that's not where he's just sitting, man.
He wore 7 at Carroll. So when I saw him back in the 7th, I was like, all right.
He was waiting for Zion Kearney to get out of the way to give up 7. I gotcha. One other bonus one, too, I should have mentioned earlier. Just a good to see him on the field and looking healthy. Andy Bass, shout out.
Just
brutal run for him, tearing both ACLs at different times. Like, that is just awful. He was out there doing stuff. Just good to see. I mean, obviously always been as yoked as anyone. Guy's huge. Just nice to see him out there at least doing some stuff. Again, he's been hurt so much, just terrible luck. So shout out to him just for being out there looking healthy. I thought that was cool. Anything else? I mean, I think we covered about everything. It was nice to be out there. Again, appreciate Brent and Mike Houck in Oklahoma for making that happen. And for us getting to be out there for a full hour like that was great. I mean, you really got to learn about the team. And there's a belief there will be more viewing windows, I believe, in the near future. Maybe not always video. That was nothing that was nice. We got to shoot video. And I know our viewers on the YouTube channel really appreciate it. The chance to see practice. And I got about 10 and a half solid minutes of footage up on the YouTube. And I mean, we can see the response to it. People love it. People love to see the team. So
Shout out to Brent and the Oklahoma staff and just really appreciate them letting us out there. My only other bonus one was Aaron Cheatwood, new assistant edge coach, was out there. So seeing him work with Chavis was pretty cool. Obviously, Trent Simpson takes a job at Alabama as an assistant defensive line coach, and bringing in Cheatwood, and he was out. He's already in Norman working with the team, and so that was the only other thing. I was like, hey, there he is. You know, newest member of the staff working working in Norman, but cool to be out there. I had a lot of fun.
No doubt, good call. And we're back out there tonight, not for practice, but we're going to talk to more guys. And the belief is that Brent Venables is going to speak as well. So keep an eye out for that, obviously on the site for coverage, but then on the YouTube channel if you want to hear from Brent and the team, that'll be doing so tonight. The team practices again on Saturday, not scheduled to be any media stuff on Saturday. I think they might allow some viewing, but there won't be any video purposes. Tom is planning to get out there, so he'll have some coverage on the site as far as just anything notable from that perspective, if you want to subscribe and be with us over there. But we've only just begun. Obviously, we'll be back to it next week, and there will be more, I assume, viewing windows and more, obviously, interviews, stuff with the team as we kind of comb our way through the roster before the spring game on April 18th, which nice to have the spring game back, obviously, coming up here in a few weeks as well. All right, I think that's it for now. We'll go back to the drawing board. Colin, I'll see you this evening in Norman as we talk to more guys and we continue to navigate our way through spring. Good stuff.
Looking forward to it. I think next week we'll talk a whole bunch of Cruton.
Yeah.
Because that will have wrapped basically 2 months on the road for me.
Yeah. Sitting in April next week. It's
kind of I want to say as well, we're getting ready for some more visitors to cycle through Norman now that spring practices are starting up. So.
Yeah.
Cruton talk rolling down the wire here pretty soon.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that more, obviously, over the next few weeks. And obviously, tons of spring camp coverage, both on the YouTube as well as on the site every day, really, from now until, you know, the end of April, pretty much. So be plugged in with us every step of the way. That's it for now. We'll be back again. Brent Venables, more interviews tonight. Tom and I will be back with the show on Monday. Obviously, we'll hit some more spring ball stuff and then recap the weekends for OU sports as well, both hoops and on the diamond. We'll do all that on Monday. That's it for now. For Colin Kennedy, I'm Josh Calloway. We'll see you next time right back here, as always, on Sooners Illustrated.